This is Steve Sherlock with another series of podcasts for Franklin Matters. This is number 46 in the series, and this is the first of what should be a series focusing on the candidates for the election of November 3rd in the town council, the school committee, and several other positions that are up for election in the town. The complete listing is available on the town website or here on Franklin Matters. Today we'll spend about 20 minutes talking with Scott Mason, who'll be running for his third term on the town council. Before we get into the conversation with Scott, let me quickly say that if you are a candidate for election this November 3rd, please get in contact with me to arrange for a similar interview. The output can be purely text or audio, as we're doing with Scott, or video. The intent of the interview series is to share your information as a candidate with the Franklin community. This aligns perfectly with my overall goal to share information within the community to create fully informed voters. We need to know the ins and the outs of what we're voting on. Franklin does matter. So without further ado, let's get right into the conversation with Scott. We had initially met in person and then recorded this conversation over the phone to make this available for you. We'll begin at least to thank you, Scott, for taking time to sit with us. I'm speaking on behalf of the Franklin voters here for Franklin Matters. And you're a candidate for election this year. This will be your third time running.
This is my third election, Steve, and thank you for talking with me tonight.
No, I appreciate it. I know we briefly talked in terms of setting this up. The two terms so far have been gone by quickly, and yet there were some interesting times.
Well, it seems like we've gone from kind of seeing the dark clouds on the horizon to being in the middle of the eye of the hurricane, I guess, at this point, as far as the economy and how we're dealing with it in Franklin. So it has been, it's been a fast 4 years, and it's also been an evolving 4 years. So I'm looking forward to the next two.
Yeah, hopefully the finances will improve overall economic-wise, and then ultimately there'll be some trickle-down effect for the Franklin benefit as well.
I think we all look forward to that.
Yeah. So clearly, to position you as a candidate, we've got some data that you've already provided. I'll include that in the text that'll accompany this. So let's spend some time just on three or four questions that I think I'll ask the other candidates as well, that they come forward, whether audio in this case or whether we'll just do a text interview with them, so at least we can provide some common reference points for the candidates as we approach this election.
Okay.
And the first question is, what do you think is Franklin's big issue, and then what steps do you think we should be taking to address that?
Well, Franklin's big issue year in and year out, Steve, is always the budget. And Franklin is not unlike the other 300-plus cities and towns in Massachusetts in that our budget does not cover our needs. So that brings up the conundrum of how do we meet our needs under those circumstances. And also, like all the other cities and towns in Massachusetts, we're reliant upon the state for aid to make up some of that deficit. I think we do a very good job of making do, not only making do, but thriving with what we have to work with. However, it's getting worse. And we saw a little bit of that this year with some of the budget cuts we had to make, some of the personnel cuts. And I think, unfortunately, we're probably going to see more of that next year. We ask a lot of our employees in town, and they come through for us. And in that regard, we're very fortunate. I don't think that in general we see as citizens of Franklin any degradation of services as a result of reduction in personnel. But eventually we're going to get to a point where we do start to see a degradation. So we need to start thinking about how we bridge that. And boy, there's no easy answers. Ideally, it starts with reform at the state level, but short of that, we need to start thinking creatively. And We saw a little bit of that a few months ago when we passed the meals tax in Franklin, which was a state initiative that allowed us mm-hmm. to tack on a couple of percentage points on the end of a restaurant bill. And that'll help, and we need some other opportunities like that as well. But, boy, I'll tell you, there's never any easy decisions when it comes to the budget.
No, not at all. Nope. And certainly, as you referenced positions lost, the schools certainly have been taking a big hit. The fear there is that we'll gradually see that hit in the MCAS scores, which has been one of our trademarks. And to the teachers' credits, they've continued to, you know, kind of pull a rabbit out of the hat. But at some point in time, when the class sizes really start increasing, you know, some of those scores are going to go down. It's going to be a question of when.
Sure. We have an exceptional educational system here in Franklin. And once again, I think not unlike other cities and towns in the state, approximately 60% of our annual budget goes to fund the school system. So that's always going to see the biggest hit because it's the biggest percentage of the budget.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, we need to find ways to stop the bleeding there. Eventually, if we don't, we're going to start seeing issues with accreditation. We're already seeing issues in terms of some of the physical plant,
right?
In terms of needed repairs, so you know, I'm gonna bring up a what some people consider to be a dirty word, and that's override.
Yeah.
But that is always an issue that we as a council have to consider, because that is one of the ways that you increase the budget.
Right. Right. We were successful once. Unfortunately, we may have to be considering that in the future time. So.
Well, you know what, Steve? It's always put to the voters. It's never a decision by a council or an administrator or anything like that. Anytime you ask for an override, That's the vote. That's at the voters' discretion, and as long as we present them with all the issues in an objective manner, so that they can make a clear decision, I think at the end of the day, you have to rest with what they decide.
Correct. And I think that, you know, in terms of the decision points and the right information, that kind of segues into one of the questions I wanted to talk about. Is the one of the concerns that came up the last override in 2008. That failed was primarily because we didn't have a long-term plan. Now the Financial Planning Committee has indeed put that together. Do you have a position on that? I know they haven't really brought out the final plan yet, but what would you say on that?
Yeah, I'm going to reserve my opinion until I read and digest the final plan. I will say that I give them so much credit for the effort and the amount of work that they put in putting this together, and I was at the presentation they made, as were all the other counselors who aren't on that committee, and you can't help but be impressed with how thorough they were, at least at that point. Now, once again, the final report has not been released, and I think that all of the counselors and all of the other candidates who are running for council need to reserve judgment until they have an opportunity to look through that and read it thoroughly.
Yeah, in terms of the details of the report itself, but one thing I think surprised me somewhat, and again, because I've only been recently involved heavily in terms of kind of the town politics the last couple of years, but apparently there had been other efforts to do this kind of a long-term plan at least a couple of times, according to one of the focus groups. That would then speak that this process, this group, should at least continue in some fashion to continue to update the plan rather than just develop it and let it sit.
Well, this is, I'll say this first of all, this is the first time that a committee was formed during my 4 years on the council. And I agree with you. I think that any plan that's put in place has to be fluid for a number of reasons. One, you know, the economy is always fluid.
Right.
So, you know, that's got to be your basis for any kind of plan in the first place. And then second of all, you know, that we may benefit from additional state aid or federal aid through the years that reflects in our budget. So consequently, that would reflect in the plan, the needs of the plan. So, you know, I don't think that anybody that, and I don't want to speak for anybody that sat on that committee, but I certainly don't think that anybody that was on that committee and is still on that committee went into it with the idea that what they were what they were coming up with was etched in granite.
No, absolutely. That was the one concern, having participated in most of the meetings as an observer and recorder. The major concern was that when the number came out on the report, that it would at least be taken with that kind of caveat, that this is as of a point in time, things may change. And, yeah, how the ultimate report comes out and then how it's positioned and talked about that way, that's going to be a key understanding.
Well, and this year was a perfect example of that, Steve, especially how it affected our annual budget. As you were aware, because you sat in on just about all the meetings, we didn't know from week to week leading up to our budget hearings what numbers we were going to have to work with. And it literally came down to Jeff Nutting telling us, listen, you've got to vote on a budget with the idea mm-hmm. that you may have to amend that budget after right. the fact. But obviously we have to pass a budget before July 1st, which is the start of our fiscal year. So, and it was worse this year than other years because there was less money from the state to work with.
The dominoes rolling all the way down
absolutely.
From federal to state to town.
Absolutely.
Just affected everybody.
Absolutely. Yep. And once again, that it all trickles down to what the Financial Planning Committee is doing and how that's going to affect, anything they put down on paper.
Mm-hmm. One of the other committees that made a presentation, I think, in the beginning of July was the Charter Commission.
Mm-hmm.
Some of their recommendations, I believe, still have to get formalized to go from the town council through to the state legislature and then ultimately back to us as the voters to vote on them.
Mm-hmm.
What are the changes that you like or dislike, or are there anything in there that you want to comment on?
Well, I guess a couple of things, and taking nothing away from the people who were on that committee, but it took 2 years to get back to us. And there wasn't at the end of the day, there wasn't a whole lot of changes that were being recommended. There was, they had a lot of discussions regarding the positions of town clerk and town treasurer.
Mm-hmm.
And rightly so, because the way those positions stand now, they're elected positions, and they're held by people who have been in those positions for many years, and they have grown into those positions. However, especially in the case of our town clerk, who I believe has been here on this job for 18 years, and I may stand corrected on that, but she has considered retiring after her next term is up, and it would be difficult to fill, potentially very difficult to fill her position by another elected person. So we need to consider in both cases, the need to move to an appointed position, and therefore we can bring in the best candidates for those jobs.
Yeah, and I think to your point where the positions, the people have grown into the positions themselves have evolved over time.
Absolutely.
So there's more mandates. There's more requirements. There's more technical skill in some
sure.
cases required in some of those roles than had been when they first started.
Sure. Well, there's all sorts of certification that's involved now, especially with the town treasurer. Once again, you're dealing with millions of dollars of town money.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an extremely important position. And, anybody can run for an elected position. There are no qualification requirements other than you've got to be a citizen of the town of Franklin.
Right.
So you could theoretically get anybody in that position. It comes down to a popular vote. And I don't know that I would want, the town treasurer or the town clerk to be in that position now. I know Debbie Pellegri feels very strongly that it should remain an elected position in the case of the town clerk. I guess we differ in that regard, but we'll see. There is now presently a charter subcommittee that's made up of three members of the council that are taking a closer look at what the charter committee came up with, and they will translate those recommendations back to us again.
Before it goes to the legislature.
Right, right.
Before it comes back ultimately to the voters to make the
right.
agreement or disagreement.
Right. Yep. And then just to finish answering your question, the other piece was staggered terms for elected officials. And you and I talked about this when we sat down together a few weeks ago, and my opinion on that is that, first of all, it comes down to a compromise. You've either got to have spring elections, or you've got to create a situation where some of the councillors are holding terms that are greater in length than 2 years. And the first of all, April elections have traditionally proven to be very, very low voter turnout elections.
Correct.
Now, we struggle with the November election to get 3,500 folks to come out of 18,000 registered voters in town to come out and vote in a town election. It's not a good scenario if you've got less than that to show up for a spring election. The flip side of that is that I'm not sure that you're going to get a whole lot of interest from folks that are vying for a 3 or a 4 year term on the council. As much as I enjoy being on that council, I also enjoy the opportunity to take a look at whether I want to continue to run every 2 years.
True.
And if I had to make a choice regarding a 4 year term, I'm not sure I could do it.
And that is a long time to commit, but there is some of that kind of getting up to speed learning process, and then you become effective.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, there's no question.
There's pluses and minuses.
Yep, no question.
Yep. Last question, at least, for this, although I'm sure we could talk Franklin issues for a while, but for the point of the candidacy, open space and the open space fund, the meals tax, Meals tax, I don't think, goes there, but the hotel tax goes there, and that's primarily used for other capital, green, open space requirements. Do you still envision that being primarily for that use, or would there be some valid uses of that for other capital requirements for the town?
Well, I think probably given the fact that we're so far underwater with our capital budget, I think we need to look long and hard at how that money is used presently and make some decisions on a go-forward basis. And I'll give you a couple of examples, Steve. We have a five-year plan for the capital budget. So we can take a look at this point to fiscal 2014, and I can tell you that there's not going to be enough capital funding coming in to pay for, or even come remotely close to paying for, everything that we're going to need in the next 5 years. And I know this because I've been chairman of the capital subcommittee for the past 4 years. And I'll give you another. For instance, there is no provision in our budget for repaving roads in town.
Right, that's a major one,
and it's huge, and it's starting to bite us hard right now. We're reliant upon state or federal funding, all of which is growing scarce. Mm-hmm. And the rule of thumb is to tear up, resurface, regrade, and resurface a road is $1 million for 1 mile.
Right.
We don't have that money, and we're not only seeing issues with the qualities of our roads on our main roads, but some of the side streets in town, if you've driven down them, are just awful. And I'll use Salem Circle as a prime example. Here's a small side street that is so bad that in the winter, if it rains or snows, the water can't drain and it turns into a skating rink.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But even knowing that, how do you justify repaving that road when Pleasant Street is a mess, Lincoln Street is a mess, you've got all these main roads that need it as well.
Correct.
So I think we need to come up with a better plan that may use some of this money to tackle some of these projects.
Right, because I think the current process of using the, and it's probably the poor term, but at least the technically correct term from the state is the free cash that's certified at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
That, as you're saying, it just doesn't give us enough coverage for what we need. So I think one of the auditor's recommendations was actually to create a capital budget line item to actually, put some money into that on a regular budget basis.
Well, and it's got to come from somewhere.
Right, that's the key.
Is the issue. And informally, you know, the idea and has been kicked around of creating an override that goes specifically to fund roads. You know, and once again, you know, there's that four-letter word. And, you know, the voters could just as easily say, you know what, I never drive down that road.
Right.
You know, I don't care if it, So, you know, there's no easy decisions. And certainly the capital budget, even though it's separate from the operating budget, is still in the same boat in terms of being in a deficit.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Well, going forward, whether you or whoever ends up on November 3rd going forward in the council, the issues are certainly going to be there. To close, you have a statement to kind of wrap with to, you know, give your position, if you will, to the Franklin voters to call to action.
Well, I don't know if it's a call to action, but it's pretty much the same position that I've taken for the past 4 years, and that's that we enjoy a quality of living in Franklin that a lot of towns don't get. And I think we need to always keep that in the forefront of our thinking and always work to that end, that we need to keep that standard. And that means some tough decisions, especially in a bad economy. I think the next 2 years are really going to test us as a town. Everybody, you know, whether it's the town as a whole or citizens as individuals, are pretty much in the same boat in an economic crisis. Everybody's struggling to make ends meet. So it's difficult to go to anybody and hold your hand out and say, you know, we need more. But it may come down to that. And, you know, my position has always been, let's keep Franklin the great town that it's always been.
I would agree. We have some tough choices. And thank you very much for taking your time. I know you're going to be busy with some other campaign duties.
Oh, sure.
To prepare for November 3rd. Yep. So thank you very much. I appreciate it. On behalf of all Franklin voters, thank you. On behalf of Franklin Matters as well, because I think Franklin does matter, and I appreciate your effort on the council in driving us forward.
Thanks, Steve. I appreciate it.
This podcast has been a public service provided to my fellow citizens of Franklin, Mass. For additional information, please visit the website franklinmatters.blogspot.com. If you have any questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. And the music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the band East of Shirley. This piece is entitled Ernesto Mañana. Copyright Michael Clark and Tintype Tunes in 2008 and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy.